and Millie Kalikimaka. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We all know the story of Jesus being born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Well, today Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Making Room for a Savior. But first, we invite you to join the family of New Hope for a Christmas carol, O Holy Night.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
A long time for a gift, it makes it even more and more valuable. And if you really, really want to give a super, super good gift, you have to plan and prepare way in advance. The gift that God wanted to give to you and to me was so great and so gracious, it took him from the beginning of time to prepare. And when the spotless Lamb of God was sacrificed, he was brought here in a manger, but he had been prepared to bring redemption before he was born, before all time began. That's quite a valuable gift, don't you think? It says that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Actually, the real word is swaddling cloths, and I'll tell you why. I was in Bethlehem a couple of years ago, and there was a man that lives in Bethlehem, a Bethlehemite, and said, "Hey, you remember when it says swaddling clothes?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "That's wrong. It's actually swaddling cloths." I said, "What are you talking about?" It's like rags. I said, "Why?" He said, "You see, when they would have sacrificial lambs in the days of the Bible, and when the lamb was to be sacrificed, if it was a sacrificial lamb, it had to be completely unblemished, untouched by earth, not dirty, not soiled, had to be pure. And that would be the sacrificial lamb that they would offer on the Day of Atonement for the sins of the people. But that was a well in advance prepared lamb, kept spotless. To the point where when the lamb is born, those shepherds actually catch the lamb and wrap its feet in rags so it never touches the earth. Swaddling cloths. And then, light started turning on in my head. And he said, and that's why if you read about Jesus when he was born, they wrapped him in swaddling cloths because he was to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world as a gift to us for the redemption of sins. Like, wow. I about had a hallelujah breakdown right there in Bethlehem. I tell you, it's just like, wow. And then you begin to understand how much he values us. Never underestimate that. He values you more than you'll ever know. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about us. It's about him. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? Father, thank you for these who are gifts on either side of us, to the left and to the right. We're grateful that you've given to us one another, but now we stand together corporately as one family, as an ohana, and we stand before you to say thank you for the gift that you've brought to us. Because you valued us so much, you prepared this gift from the beginning of the foundation of the world. And it took so many years wherein he came on that Christmas morning wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So that he would be the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for the forgiveness of sins. You value us that much. That's amazing. But Lord, help us to catch just a teeny smidgen of what that means today so that we will appreciate what Christmas is all about. We are grateful for you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray and we say, hey, would you greet a couple of people with a big hug and say Merry Christmas and welcome to New Hope.
Often, when a gift is given, it says more about the giver than it does about the receiver.
And for the many different gifts you receive, there are many different gift givers.
What kind of gift giver are you?
There's the bad rapper.
Meli Kalikimaka. I ran out of newspaper, so I just stuffed it in a grocery bag.
Oh, thanks.
There's the re-gifter.
I got you something.
And there's the sentimental gifter.
Go ahead, open it.
Okay. Oh, it's an old shoe.
Remember when we were 7, you lost your shoe at the park? I found it.
Wow.
There's the
happy birthday.
My birthday was 2 months ago.
Oh. Belated gifter.
And don't forget the price tag, Lever Honor.
This was very expensive and very hard to find. I had to special order it from Germany.
Wow. But why does it say clearance $3.99?
Busted.
Then there's the vague gifter.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks, Grandma. It's a Hello Kitty pencil. Well, I am a girl, so thanks.
There's the overgifter.
I got you a Lexus with a big red bow on it.
What?
And the undergifter.
So, I got you some sandwich bread.
Thanks.
And then there's the insecure gifter.
It's a hat. You probably have a million of them, so you can go ahead and return it and get whatever you want.
Oh, no, I love it.
I'm so sorry. The receipt's in the box.
No, I love it. It's better than the lazy gifter.
So I got you a gift card. I didn't even go into the restaurant. I got it at Walmart. I hope you can get dinner at Zippy's for $10 or less.
Oh, thanks. It's better than the hijacker.
Oh, it's for me too. We went in together.
Then there's the dramatic gifter.
Okay, so Christmas is over. Everybody happy with their gifts?
Wait. I have one last gift. Some gifters are researchers.
So, I called your office and I spoke to your boss, and he faxed me some papers that he found wadded up in your trash can. But then I had to call the Library of Congress because
others
they're the
are
only
more like
ones
obligatory
who...
gifters.
I drew your name, so this is what you got. Take it or leave it. It doesn't really matter to me.
Then there's the fascist philanthropist.
I made a donation in your name to the Save the Whales Fund.
Save the whales? When did I ever say I wanted to save the whales? I didn't ever want
you
to save
You will them. Save the whales.
I wanted a Keurig.
And there is the mafioso, strings attached, manipulator.
I will give you a gift you cannot refuse. And one day in the future, I do for you, and you do for me. Capiche?
So many gifts, so many gifters.
But on this day, when we celebrate the greatest gift,
what kind of gifter is God?
He's a I've known you and watched you bloom kind of gifter.
I made you and I formed you in the womb kind of gifter.
He's the I know what you want and need kind of gifter.
And all that is found in me kind of gifter.
So celebrate, children of God.
Rejoice
in Emmanuel. God is with us.
He's restored the broken and brought us to him.
He has taken us out of our slavery to sin.
He's the wonderful counselor to keep us from danger.
Almighty God
laid soft in the manger.
Everlasting Father
who won't fade away.
The Prince of Peace we celebrate today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be our praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
No condemnation this day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Our King we adorn.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ Jesus is born.
We came from pretty poor families. Anna's family didn't have much. Her grandmother was about 4'11" and had about 9 kids, so she was quite a lady. And my dad wasn't very wealthy either. In fact, it was shown to me that one Christmas, my dad came to me, and after having told me that he can't help me in college at all with anything, with no money at all, the first Christmas I was in Bible college, he came and gave me an envelope, and I thought, it's got cash in here. Thought he robbed a bank for me, that nice guy. But when I opened it up, my dad had given me $100 in food stamps. That's because all he had. I kept those food stamps for years, to remind me that my dad was as generous as he could be to take of his own and give it to his son. When Anna and I got married, it was after a couple of years of her stalking me, and so I finally gave in, and we got married. We had $200 when we got married, and so that was it. And we didn't have a honeymoon till someone came and gave us a little bit of money, and so that allowed us to go to the coast because we got married in Oregon and for 3 days or 2 days, and we came back home. So we didn't have a lot, but she did have something that I thought was of great value, and that was a string of pearls. Her grandmother had given it to her, and I thought, man. So I looked at it, and she said, oh, aren't these nice pearls? And I thought, money. That's what that is. That's money. And so when she went to work one day, I stole into the jewelry box that she had and took it to an appraiser. Because I thought maybe at least $300, $400 we could get out of this thing. So unbeknownst to her, I went down and had it appraised. I even took some black velvet so I could lay it on the black velvet and maybe get a couple dollars more because of the presentation. And the guy looked at it, put his big old thing in his eyeball and looked at it closely and I said, don't tell me, tell me money, I want money. And he said, well, these are nice, but they're cosmetic pearls. They're not even real. I said, so what's it worth? $30 or so? I thought, give me those things. I drug it home and put it back in her jewelry box. And I had to confess it to her. I said, honey, I appraised it. She said, what? I said, the pearls. So I went and took them out and I said, these things here, they're nice, but they're cosmetic. They're only worth about $30. And she took them from me and she said, this was given to me by my grandmother who didn't have much. To you, it might be worth $30, but to me, it's worth $1 million. You see, whose hand something is in has a lot to do with its value. In my hands, it was $30. In hers, it was $1 million. I would ask, whose hands are you in? Because you see, sometimes we put our hands in the hands of our life in the hands of our friends, and we're not worth that much. Put our life in the hands of ourselves, we're not worth that much. That's why one of the greatest killers today is suicide. We just don't value ourselves anymore. We don't value one another. You look at all of the purse snatching and murders and gunning of people down, it's like people's value is just decreasing in the eyes of people. No value anymore, except for things that I want. You're not very valuable, but your purse is. And so we start to mix up values in this world today, where life isn't valuable, but your few dollars are. I'm thinking, what changed the worth of everything here? Christmas is a time when God reached down and touched earth, that he himself touched earth and put us in his hands. And that's why the Savior came to be born. That's why he stretched out his hands on that cross and said, I love you this much. It was his hands that he's asking us to place our lives in, because that's where the real value is. We got our lives in the wrong hands. I tell people this little illustration. If you take a bar of steel and you put it into 16 penny nails, that bar of steel will be worth about $12. Put all those nails back into the bar of steel and smelt it down again, but this time put it into needles, like sewing needles. The same bar of steel that was worth $12 is now worth about $200. Put it all back in the bar of steel, melt it down again, and this time put it into cutlery or very fine, like ginsu knife blades. Now it's worth about $3,000. Put all of that back into that bar of steel, melt it down again, and this time make it into very fine Swiss watch springs. It's going to be worth over $3 million. Just kind of whose hands it's in and what they make of it. And you see, God has asked us to put our lives in his hands because he created us and he knows us. And he is reaching to earth to touch earth. And he's almost doing this. Christmas is giving to God the gift of our own hearts. Because you got to remember, in Christmas time, we give each other gifts. Not our birthday. It's his. What gift are you going to bring to him? Put your life in his hands. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm simply saying, Lord, I want to put my life in your hands. And everything changes. The value changes. Everything changes. Don't ever forget that that's really what Christmas is. An invitation by God himself. So much so that he hand-delivered it to earth. And he touched your life and mine. If you haven't had him do that, ask him. Ask him. That's all it takes. I was in San Antonio many years ago, and I like to tell this story. I've told it before, but I just love it. It's about a violin. It was a man had bought at an auction, and he talks about it. He said, I bought this violin at an auction. It's about $300, but he took it out of its double cases, not just single, but double cases, and he said, this violin here, after a conclave of violin makers had studied it for quite a while, because there was something about the workmanship. That's why I bought it. And he's an amazing virtuoso. So he said, when I had it appraised, they studied it and found that it was made at about 1734. It's a Stradivarius violin. It's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. I thought, wow. And he played that thing. It's like gorgeous. Reminded me of a poem about value change. It was by Myra Brooks Welch, written in 1949. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time on such an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then two. Only two, $2. Who'll make it three? $3 going once, $3 going twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired old man came forward and he picked up the bow. He wiped the dust off that old violin and he tightened its loosened strings. And with a craftsman's touch and an artist's hand, he held it to his chin. He played a melody both pure and sweet, like caroling angels sing. And all that was there heard the sweet song that he shared that came from that same violin. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid now for this old violin?" And then he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll give me two? $2,000, who'll give me three? $3,000 going once, going twice, and gone, said he. The crowd, they cheered, but some they cried, "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Quick came the reply. It was the touch of the master's hand. And many of our lives can be way out of tune. We're battered and scarred with sin, and we're auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. Party here, and then a sneer. We laugh and travel on, but we're going once, we're going twice, we're going, and we're almost gone. But then the master comes along, and a foolish crowd may never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's brought by the touch of our master's hand. That's Christmas. In whose hands you are is what makes all the difference, changes your value that much. It's not you, it's not me, it's him. Place your life in his hands. Maybe your problem in his hands. Maybe your marriage in his hands. Figure out a way to just say, "Lord, I just really need your help on this one. Give me your wisdom, give me your grace, give me your insight, give me your perspective, not mine. Mine comes to a dead end. Yours is a new beginning." So would you do that? If you've never done that, do that. Each time we give an invitation for people to come to Christ, there in your seat pocket in front of you is a little yes packet. Grab it. And if you want to know more about Jesus, and this is your first time to get to know him like this and to start a relationship, take that yes packet and take it to an usher as you're going out. Just say, "Hey, I got a yes packet and I'm going to sign my name." And they'll give you a Bible and give you some follow-up material, and they'll just rejoice with you and pray with you. It'll be a fabulous new beginning. Make this Christmas that new beginning. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you so much for these wonderful people. We ask that you would be here and touch hearts, touch families, touch minds, and touch pasts. Broken pieces we put in your hands. Broken hopes we put in your hands. May this Christmas be the best ever. With your heads bowed, if you're here and you'd say, "You know, I need to do that. I need to put what I have in his hands. And I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm asking if he would receive me. I don't understand all there is to understand about Jesus, but I do know if I give him a chance, he'll take it, and maybe my life will be transformed." If that's you, would you just right now just raise a hand and just say, "Yeah, I need to know Jesus." Go ahead. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Raise a hand nice and high. Just let him know, this Christmas, I want it to be real. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. I want to hear what he has for me in my future. And then you just take that yes packet in the front of you there on your seat in the seat pocket, and you take it out with you. Just take that with you and take it to an usher. But Lord, we thank you for this time, this Christmas. We ask that you would be strong and mighty among us, and we give you thanks and praise for bringing the greatest gift of all to our lives, a new beginning. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, let's stand together as we conclude.
You've been listening to a message entitled Making Room for a Savior by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We trust this message has been a blessing to you. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you all of God's best this Christmas season. God bless you and aloha.
Mele Kalikimaka. This is Pastor Wayne Cordero of Words of New Hope. Each Christmas brings new gifts, and may this year you find not just gifts, but a new view of the giver of all gifts, Jesus Christ himself.